In the name of one God, Holy Trinity. Amen.
Amen.
When it comes to the Gospels, I'm a Mark guy. Not that Mark is any better than Matthew or Luke or John. All four Gospels are great accounts of the good news of Jesus. But when it comes to the Gospels, I'm a Mark guy. And I suppose it's kind of like if you drive a pickup truck, like I have for all my adult life, you're either a Chevy guy or a Ford guy or a Dodge guy, or these days, a Toyota guy. And much to my surprise, I'm driving a Toyota today. But I've always been that Ford guy. I try to count up all the different pickup trucks that I've owned and driven in the last 42 years, and I came up with 10 Fords, and I'm sure I probably have forgotten a couple, a Chevy and a Dodge, and like I say, now a Toyota. So yeah, I'm a Ford guy for no other identifiable reason than I just like Fords. You know, they're no better than Chevys or Dodges or Toyotas. They just suit me. Or maybe I'm a creature of habit. Or maybe I lack imagination. I don't know. It's just the way I am. So when it comes to the Gospels, I'm unapologetically a Mark guy. All the four Gospels have their own distinct body styles and options, if you will. But when you get right down to it, they're all much like pickup trucks, utilitarian vehicles meant to carry cargo, and in this case, that cargo is the good news of Jesus Christ. And I've probably driven this metaphor about as far as it'll go without breaking down, but I do like Mark the best. And in some ways, my love of Mark might seem a little unusual. At least I haven't talked to many who share my preference for the earliest gospel. And I understand why that may be so. Mark's gospel is short and abrupt, and Mark's Jesus is a man of few words. But there's an immediacy in Mark, an urgency, a rhythm, and a drive to the narrative that I just like. It's kind of minimalist in a way, but it implies so much. I also think that it's a very cool thing that this year, in what we church nerds call lectionary year B, we couple Mark's gospel with John's. And we do this because, as I said, Mark is so short. And in fact, it's so short that if we were to only use Mark, before the end of the year, we would run out of Mark before we ran out of Sundays. So it's our great fortune to get to hear throughout year B these simple, matter-of-fact readings from Mark and readings from the Gospel of John, who is anything but matter-of-fact. And in fact, their complex, mystical musing on Jesus's nature. Remember, a couple weeks ago, we pondered that great poetic prologue to John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being through him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. That's the beginning of John. Here's how Mark starts off. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And these two very different ways of starting off the story of Jesus are previews of the different ways that they tell the story of the good news. Mark seems to highlight Jesus' humanity in simple, broad strokes. And John stresses Jesus' divinity in this high, poetic language. And both stories taken together, of course, with Matthew and Luke in there too, they give us the big story, the one that we stick to here in church. That is the story of Jesus, fully human and fully divine. So what, right? I mean, all this talk about stories is interesting. Well, it's interesting to me at least, but it's interesting in an intellectual way, a way that is abstract and maybe not really that applicable to life in Jackson Hole 2018, unless it is. That is, unless you think that hearing stories and telling stories and really paying attention to the stories we tell and hear can make a difference in your life, in our lives together, a difference in our children's lives, a difference in our friends' lives, a difference in the lives of the communities that we all are part of, many different communities. Then maybe it is more than just an abstraction. When you pay attention to the stories and how they are told, listening for the echoes. Maybe these stories can inspire us and inform us in ways that call us into action. Now here's another thing. I believe that the stories of our lives are just as important as the stories we hear from the Bible. At least they deserve as much of our attention as any story from the Bible or Netflix or anywhere else for that matter. And I believe that the stories of our own lives can be made richer and more meaningful, and that we can be better equipped to live full, meaningful lives if we let our lives intersect with these stories from Scripture. Consider this short, not so sweet piece of the book of Jonah that we heard today. God tells Jonah for the second time, go to the city of Nineveh and tell them what I'm about to do. Jonah goes to that great city, so great that it takes 3 days to walk across. That's probably a bit of a story in itself. But he walks into the city for one full day, and that puts him near, but not quite in the center of Nineveh. And if you remember the Jonah story, and if you don't remember the Jonah story, it's every bit as good as Mark, and it's even shorter, and I highly recommend reading it. But if you remember Jonah's story, the first time he heard God talking to him, he ignored God's words, and he ended up in the belly of an extremely large fish. He ended up in that fish belly because he had run away from God. So this time, the second time God calls to him, what he hears God saying to him, he listens to what he hears God saying to him. And where does he find himself? In the belly of another beast, Nineveh, that horrible city, according to the story. It seems like Jonah runs into the same problem that I seem to run into often. Wherever I go, there I am. Now, have you ever found yourself in the belly of the beast? That raw, vulnerable place, that scary, unknown place where you didn't know what to do? Well, Jonah wanted to avoid that scary place. He wanted to go around it, or he wanted to run away from it, and neither of those schemes worked too well. So this time, the second time he heard the voice of God, almost out of desperation, it seems, he goes through it, trusting in God, and that changes everything. And consider the short, sweet piece of the story from Mark, my favorite gospel, where Jesus abruptly shows up on the scene. First, he finds Simon and Andrew hard at work, doing their thing, being fishermen, and with one quick, cryptic sentence, changes their lives forever. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. No, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. Then he sees James and John. Immediately he calls them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. And when you hear this, what do you think? Maybe again, so what? I mean, have you heard the voice of God telling you in no uncertain terms exactly what to do, like Jonah did? Have you heard Jesus' voice telling you to drop everything and follow him, like those four nascent apostles on that shore that day? Well, true confession, I haven't heard that clear, emphatic voice telling me exactly what to do. But I have heard the voices in the stories. I've heard the voices in the stories from Scripture. I've heard the voices in the stories of your lives that you have told to me. And when I listen carefully, I can hear those voices in the story of my own life. If you're like me, maybe the closest you will ever come to hearing God's voice is through the stories that you hear. Jonah in the belly of the beast reminds me that sometimes when I least want to speak what I believe to be God's truth, for fear of sounding like a prophet, heaven forbid, is when I must speak and let the chips fall where they may. In the story from Mark, in fact, all of Mark's startling story of the good news is a wake-up call. Wake up and immediately get going. You've been too comfortable for too long. Try uncomfortable for a while and see how that works out. See where God leads you. I believe it's likely that we hear the voice of God in our own stories too, but we must be willing to tell our stories to one another, not just keep them to ourselves. This goes for our personal stories, and this goes for our community story. And today at St. John's annual meeting, we heard the story of what we did in 2017 together and of what we want to do in 2018. It's a pretty cool story. And it's a story that's ongoing. And we're so blessed because as members of this church, we not only get to hear and tell our story, the story of St. John's Jackson, but we actually get to be the characters in the story. We get to drive the plot. We get to co-create the story of how God's work gets done in this place, at this time, in our lives, and in the life of this valley. We are St. John's, and we are not only the story of how God's work gets done in Jackson Hole and beyond, but we are also the story of how God's grace gets done in Jackson Hole and beyond. What a story. What a beautiful, simple, complex story we are. Amen.